Time now to go to the hotline and talk to the star of the Paul Feinbaum Show. I hope so. He's the host. It is Paul Feinbaum from ESPN and, of course, the Paul Feinbaum Show. Paul, how you doing?
As of late yesterday, it was still called the Paul Feinbaum Show. But in this current world that we live in, I live my life tweet to tweet.
Well, you did something that maybe some people might think is sort of suicidal. And that is that you took on the king, right? And in the king doesn't take your criticism very much. You and I have had this conversation a few times on your show and mine about Nick Saban. Now, just for those people who may have missed it, how could you? All you got to do is Google Saban rips reporter, and I kid you not, there are 2.5 pages of it. It's happened on more than one occasion. And, of course, there's a new chapter in this on the first day of Alabama spring practice. Paul, did you ever see the movie If This Is Tuesday, It Must Be Belgium?
I did. It was a great movie back in our day.
Yes. And I'm thinking one ought to go like this. If this is spring in Tuscaloosa, it must be Mount Saban.
Indeed. And buddy, it seems like this conversation has happened before. And what bothered me wasn't his rant or his outrage. Nick Saban has done this countless times. There was a website in Alabama yesterday that ranked the top 10 Saban rants, and quite frankly, this wasn't even one of them. What bothers me is his continual belittling of the media. I mean, he went Trump on Tuesday, insinuating that this was fake news and made up, and it was a legitimate question about an issue that I had talked about a couple of hours earlier on SportsCenter. Maybe you heard that, maybe you didn't. And frankly, we have not heard from him since the new offensive coordinator hire. He hired Brian Daboll from New England, who as a coordinator, not as a tight ends coach for Bill Belichick, had a pro-style offense. So it was a fair question. And it's not my age or it's not anything that I'm trying to gain a seat at the Columbia School of Journalism. I just don't like anyone in his profession belittling the media because it's unwarranted and it's really unnecessary. And I think it shows a side of Saban that maybe some of us have seen and not reported to great degrees, but it's a small side of him and it's a bad look for an iconic coach. And what I said yesterday on Outside the Lines is that I never saw, and I'll defer to you as well, the greatest basketball coach of all time, John Wooden, belittle a reporter or try to make him look small. John Wooden answered questions in a very sophisticated and often intellectual manner. Mike Krzyzewski, who is Saban's peer in today's world of college basketball, doesn't do that. You know, Belichick is his own is an enigmatic personality. I mean, but even Belichick, you can hardly understand what he says. Oh, and I just think it's a bad look for Saban. And I say that as a fan of his, not as an antagonist.
You are a friend and a fan of, and one of the few he's got in the media corps. If you won't get along with him, and I'm not saying you don't, then who does? You made a couple of important points, and I want to get on these and go to another subject because you've got limited time here. You know how this clock goes. But you made a point that yesterday he belittled this guy, and there was nobody in that room, maybe one person that he even respects. And he did it because he can. Now, you know, Paul, we've had this conversation. I wrote a column last year about him, what he did when he just dressed down Lane Kiffin on the sideline, what I thought was just reprehensible. I talked to other coaches about it, said it was not acceptable the way he did that. And, of course, we referred back to media days in Birmingham where he jumped on you about something. And, you know, I outright called him a bully. You mentioned it on your show. I got a couple of people who didn't like it. But, you know, who are we to call Nick Saban a bully? We're just media guys, right? So my point is that does anybody care? Does anybody care? And why did he do it? You asked that question on your show. He did it because he can. And quite frankly, a lot of people out here who are not Alabama fans are getting pretty tired of it.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and I feel, you know, I'm introduced sometimes as an expert on various subjects, and maybe I am, and maybe I'm not. But I do feel comfortable and confident, buddy, in saying I'm an expert on Alabama fans. I lived there more than 30 years. That's where my career took off and endured. Alabama fans, to a person, will call you or me or tweet or respond saying, Nick Saban doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what I think. And quit. So stop it. You know what, buddy? He does care. And it's evidenced by the fact that he responds the way he does. I know for a fact that he cares about what is said about him. He once said in an interview with me, I was sitting on his couch for television. I asked him about the media. He said, I don't care about the media. I don't read it. I don't listen to it. I pay no attention whatsoever. And I got up and walked over to his chair because I left something there. And what's sitting there is the sports page of the Tuscaloosa News.
Of course.
Yeah, they all care. And we know because we've heard from him or people close to him. And I just think that's a foolish thing for fans to say. I don't care if fans want to follow Nick Saban to the wall or try to cross the Red Sea with him. They're entitled to it. But I'm also entitled to give what I think is an objective and honest opinion, of which I have.
Absolutely. And without making this all about Nick Saban, which has been pretty much the story in the last 24 hours, just look online. And by the way, folks, go online and just Google Saban Rips Reporter. It goes back a few years, by the way. This is the current theme of Nick Saban. It's his right to do that, I suppose. We don't have to like it. But I know you're not on a one-man crusade to save the media. But I applaud you for sticking up for somebody who basically was defenseless. And by the way,
I'll say one last thing about that.
Yeah.
And I was that guy 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you were too.
Yep.
And I know what it's like to be frozen out. I know what it's like to be ostracized in that same building or across the street where Saban is now. And I'm not trying to give a philosophical speech here, but fortunately I'm at a place now where I can give an opinion without fear or being concerned that I'm going to be called in and have my desk cleaned out. Those men and women in that room don't have that luxury because they're subjected to a culture of college sports that we all live in, and it's beyond college sports. And I'm not doing this as a cause or a crusade, because as soon as I hang up on one caller telling me I'm ridiculing Saban, the next guy's accusing me of living in his guest house. So, you can't have it both ways. I'm just giving an honest opinion.
Well, one more thought about this young man who asked this question. By the way, we should say what it was. It was asked about ball control, inferring that maybe Saban was new offensive coordinator and his staff, which he got 10 analysts he hired with him, are gonna go to the running game.
He's up to 16.
Yeah, and he took umbrage at that and said, "What do you mean? I'm not deferring to this running game." And he went off on a guy named Ranier Sabine. I think I'm saying it right. You had
that
him on
correct.
Your show. I think he was an intelligent young man. Just listening to him, I didn't know him from anybody. He's a very nice-looking young man. And by the way, he covered the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News. He's not some kid off the street, you know, who was an intern, you know, whatever. He should be treated with some respect because of his credentials. And, you know, so if he can do it to Ranier Sabine, he can do it to probably pretty much anybody. We will follow this closely. I know you got your neck stuck out there, Paul. Don't stick it too far, though, okay? Because we want you on the show, especially with you and Laura. When you're on, that's my favorite sports TV. When you and Laura are on, it's wonderful. So, okay, let's talk about star power. We've had this conversation a couple of times before, and the SEC has lost so much star power among its football coaches. I mean, you look at them. We talked early this week with a friend from Southwest Florida about this. You look, Urban's gone. Spurrier gone from South Carolina. Mark Richt gone from Georgia. Les Miles from LSU. There's a bunch of star power in that group. Now, this week, the website Saturday Down South did a ranking on star power among SEC coaches and basketball and football. And it's so graphic because if you start out with, we know who 1 and 2 are. It's not even close, right? Your friend in Tuscaloosa is number one, right? And then after that, it would be John Calipari. After that, it's always up for grabs. Think about that, because there's a big chunk of those guys gone. Now, you know, from there, where do you go? I mean, who's your number three? Who's your number four? And so on, so on, so forth.
Yeah, buddy, if you contain – basketball is a little bit difficult because there's so much change going on right now. But if you contain it to just football, for the sake of argument – I would say the second biggest coach in the SEC right now would be Jim McElwain. And with all due respect to Mac, he would not be number two in the Big Ten, the ACC, the Pac-12, or probably even the Big 12. And this is where the league, I think, is in trouble. Hugh Freeze was in contention. He's in a free fall. Les Miles was certainly up there easily years ago. Mark Richt, Steve Spurrier. As you said, these guys are all gone, and there's really there's not much there's nothing really else up there. I mean, I don't even know where you go. You throw names up. Kevin Sumlin, he's fighting for his job. Bielema's struggling. Butch Jones may be on the hot seat, may not be.
Kirby Smart too young.
Kirby
Smart's not quite
too
old.
Young. Huh? I mean, he's ascending. Mm-hmm. And Ed Ogeron. I mean, come on. We don't know what we got with him. So Dan Mullen, mm-hmm, is highly respected. He's coming off of a losing season.
Yeah. Yeah. Final thought on this, and Paul, thanks for your time. McElwain on this list, and who cares who made the list up? It's just for purposes of conversation. He's listed number six. Okay, here's where it gets interesting. Number three, they've got Gus Malzahn. I don't think of Gus as
not
a star.
It's not possible.
No. You know Gus Malzahn. He wouldn't even be in my top
Gus
five.
Gus Malzahn was there 3 years ago. I mean, Gus Malzahn in his last 3 years against his top two rivals, buddy, and this is how your future is decided in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You know that. He's 0-6 against Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah,
you can't make a living in that state if you go 0-8.
Yeah, and in jeopardy at one point, maybe not getting brought back. So I agree. Now
number four. It was very close last year. Had that call gone the other way in the LSU game, I'm not sure Gus Malzahn would still be there.
Yeah, and you made that point the week of that game, and you made it after that game. I remember you talking about it. Real quick, I won't go through the whole list because we don't have time, but this is what tells you what the dearth of talent and star power is in the league. Number four. This is, remember, football and basketball. Ben Howland, Mississippi State basketball coach. No,
two years at State. No tournament bids in the NCAA, and he's got a good reputation. Mm-hmm. But I think guys like Ben Howland and Rick Barnes are in trouble because of the hires lately. You have Mike White. And Drew, the old guys at 40, and now the new kid on the block that was introduced yesterday, Will Wade at LSU,
yes,
Conzo Martin. I mean, I think all four of these guys may have passed the old timers.
Those two guys are good hires, and I had not seen Will Wade before until your show. I like that young man, and of course, you point out he spent a year or two at Harvard. With Tommy Amaker, so he knows a little. He's a smart. And by the way, Mike White was 16. When I did a poll up at University of Florida with my intern a month ago, they asked a dozen students about Mike White, and half of them never heard of him. So that's so much for stardom. So, hey, Paul, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
By the way, buddy, it could change this weekend.
Yeah, no question about it. If you took the poll right now, it'd probably go 10 for 12, right, Paul, at least, for sure. Well, anyway, thanks so much for your time and enjoyed. I'll be talking to you next week about Steve Spurrier's comments about what Nick Saban said.
You better warn Spurrier about taking
shots
at Saban.
He may go off on me, too. You never know. Paul, thanks so much. Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show. We'll be right back on the Southern Pigskin Radio Network after this timeout.